it was requested of me that I present a lesson on gossip. Probably a lesson on gossip is needful at least every year or 6 months, or for some of us maybe every month. A reminder of us to be watchful of the things that we say. Mr. Robert Frost wrote quite a few years ago, before the appearance of Facebook and other social networking things, he said, "Half the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't, and the other half who have nothing to say and keep on saying it." And when we look at Facebook today, we see a large number of those who have nothing to say. Look at social networking in general, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Google+, anything. There's a number of those who have nothing to say and have no problems throwing it out there for everyone to prove that they have truly nothing worthy of reading, nothing worthy to say. When you look at the world that we live in, we can see that it is one that is filled with gossip. It has become an industry. I would imagine if you sat down and looked at it, as you do with various other industries in the world, it would be a $1 billion industry. When you look at every single newspaper that there is available nowadays, what does it have? It has a gossip column. And of course, with the death of newspapers, with them slowly, you know, beginning to pass into the electronic age and everything, and finding their way into that, you've got just even more gossip readily available. Just walk through your local checkout counters and you'll see what we have come to call gossip rags, lining the shelves there as you walk up to the counter at Walmart, Target, Kroger, wherever you shop. There's going to be a number of gossip rags. They're going to tell you everything you didn't need to know about everyone that you really probably should care nothing at all about other than their soul and the need for its salvation. These things are everywhere, and it's easy to get caught up in them. In fact, you go and look at the news, and a large section of the news is nothing more than gossip about this, that, and the other. Politics becomes nothing more than gossip about all the other politicians, and not dealing with the things that need to be dealt with, but just dealing with, well, this person's done this, or that person's done that. And it's easy for us as Christians to find ourselves getting caught up in that very thing. Speech is part of our human nature. And when it is used in the way that God intended, it relieves the need for lessons such as this. But as with everything else, we don't always do things in the way that God intended in the beginning. As we'll read in just a few moments, the tongue is a dangerous weapon. And we need to examine the importance of guarding our tongue, of watching what we say, and keeping such a dangerous weapon under control. If you would turn over the book of James there in James 3, we'll be reading that in just a moment. And James really points out to the fact that our tongue is like dynamite. And you know, you look at dynamite when they're transporting it, they'll have big red warning signs. Danger. Handle with care. I used to watch a lot of westerns and everything, and they'd be transporting nitroglycerin across the plains in a wagon, and they'd have that box suspended by ropes and have it to where it would alleviate the bounce as much as possible. And each of those little bottles of nitroglycerin was in a tiny little container with hay all around it, trying to handle it as carefully as possible. And it always ended up at some point in time, whether it was the Wild Wild West or even Dukes of Hazzard or anything of that nature, when they were carrying something explosive, somebody ended up causing it to explode. And James reveals to us that our tongue is that very thing. It's that dangerous. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 39 and verse 1, he said, "I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence." The psalmist understood the need to be very careful and watchful of the things that we say. And we need to understand even in how we say things. Because we may intend it in one way, but it can be perceived in a completely and totally different way. And so look with me, if you would, in James chapter 3. Let's begin there in verse 1. In James chapter 3, there in verse 1, James writes, he says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. James really points out the need to watch what we say. Beginning there with teachers. He says, you be careful, those of you who have become teachers. Not many of us should, because we're going to be judged by the things that we say. And I'm always a lot more lenient of those who speak for a living, those, whether it be the president or others that speak for a living, because the more you speak, the more likely you're going to come up with things that aren't going to come out the way that you intend. Like I was speaking 2 weeks ago about a convert and said convict. I was talking about Noah and Moses one time in a sermon, and I created a new biblical character called Noah. It's real easy to say things and not intend it. And that's why we have the old carpenter's adage, you know, measure twice, cut once. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. I loved when I was over in Mariupol, Ukraine, that I had time between each sentence to think about and phrase exactly the way I wanted the next thing I was going to say while the translator was translating what I was saying for them. I could stop and really think about it. We need to be watchful of our tongue. Paul expressed his concern for the Christians in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. He says, "For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances." He was afraid in the church there in Corinth that there would be those that were gossiping. And when you read the two epistles, it seems that a lot of the gossip was focused on the Apostle Paul, spreading lies and rumors about him, and he was having to defend his apostleship. David wrote in Psalm 34 and verse 13, "To keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." The wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no whisper, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down to the innermost parts of the body." When you look at these things, we can see that the tongue is something that can do amazing things. It is something we can build up individuals with, but we can just as quickly and a whole lot easier to tear people down with our tongue. And, you know, we really need to realize what the wise man is saying here in the book of Proverbs. If we just learn to be quiet, just learn to shut up, strife would cease. If we wouldn't continue talking about whatever the problem might be or whatever the perceived issue might be, these things would cease to exist. But the whisperer, the talebearer, the one who goes about stirring up strife, they just keep the fires going. It was interesting, as we were driving out across Montana, we came across the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation as we were on our way to the Battle of Little Bighorn. And as we were driving across the Indian Reservation, off in the distance, of course, you get out in Montana, you can just see for forever. I've always heard the term big sky country. Now I understand it is a big sky out there. And you look out across there, and we were looking out across the hills out there that we call mountains, but they call hills, and they were on fire. And it was just a lightning strike or two that had started those fires. And we could see thousands upon thousands of acres that had burned by that one tiny little lightning strike. One little spark is all that it took to light up those plains and those mountains and to destroy all of the vegetation. And James, the psalmist, and Solomon are all trying to encourage us to realize than our tongue. As James says, the tongue is a fire. And just like a tiny spark can light up an entire forest, so the tongue can do amazing damage. Damage that cannot be repaired. It's an old cartoon I came across once that said, digging for the facts is better than jumping to conclusions. And I'm afraid that many times gossip is those, it comes from those that they hear a little tiny thing and then they just jump to a conclusion. They imagine the worst and they run with that. Tyrone Edwards said, to murder character is as truly a crime as to murder the body. The tongue of the slanderer is brother to the dagger of the assassin. Many times we fail to look at things and to realize the damage that can be done. And it's so easy in the world that we live in today. It's so easy to just pull out the phone and type in a few characters and hit send. And the next thing we know, someone is destroyed. There have been a number, I don't know if it's just because we hear so much more about it now, but a number of suicides that have happened in public school systems because a certain individual spreads a rumor via a text about someone, and because it's sent in a text message and it's so easy to forward it to everybody, it spreads throughout the entire school and there's no chance for someone not to hear about it. And it destroys a young person's life and they end up taking their life thinking that there's no escape from these things. And we need to understand that as Christians, we can be a stop to that. We can stop these things from proceeding further. We can be a stopgap. Alan Barth said that character assassination is at once easier and surer than physical assault, and it involves far less risk for the assassin. It leaves him free to commit the same deed over and over again, and may indeed win him honors of a hero, even on the country of his victims. You see, what he's trying to say is that it is so easy to destroy simply through speech. And as Christians living in the 21st century, we need to understand it's not just the things that proceed from our mouth, but the things that proceed from our fingers, from our thumbs, in texting, in Facebook, in every interaction we have with individuals. We need to be careful and make sure that we are not taking part in this evil, evil form of gossip. With such depictions of gossips, you would think that the church would not contain a single gossip. But as we can see from the very beginning of the church all the way through to its present, just because it is a group of individuals who claim to be following after the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that claim to be living according to His will, that doesn't always hold true of everyone. There are those that are hypocrites within the Lord's church. There are those who constantly fail and stumble and try, but keep having to get back up. I want to look today at the subject of gossip. I believe probably all of us at some point in time have been guilty of a little light gossip. You know, did you hear this juicy tidbit of information? Yeah, have you heard about so-and-so? But we need to be careful that we as Christians don't find ourselves guilty of our tongue being the destroying fire within a local congregation or even amongst our friends and neighbors. So let's begin looking this morning at what exactly gossip is. Merriam-Webster defines gossip as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. The second definition is a rumor or report of an intimate nature, a chatty talk, the subject matter of gossip. And unfortunately, we've had this idea that gossips are what we used to see in the 50s and the 60s, two ladies standing over the back fence talking about all of their neighbors. And then when the party line came in, you could go and you could sit there and you could listen on the phone to the party line. And those of you who are young and don't remember that or don't know what it is, then talk to your parents or your grandparents. They can explain it to you. But you could listen in on what everybody else was saying. And gossip spread even further by that. And a lot of times when you look in television, those that were telephone operators were the biggest gossips because they knew everything that was going on in town. Oftentimes depicted there on the Andy Griffith Show that Sarah knew everything about everyone. And now we go a little bit further and you had chat rooms begin to come up in the 90s where you could just go and just throw information out there. And now with the Facebook and Google and all these other ways that we can go about putting things out there, it is so easy for us to follow through with this and to allow ourselves to become a part of the gossip of the world. Wikipedia gives this as a description of gossip. It says, idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. We're not interested in the things that we already know. We want to know something new. We're like the people there in Athens. We're always looking for something new. And we want the juicy details. Gossiping is more than just chatting among friends about your lives. It's spreading secrets. It allows lies and rumors to spread further. It destroys lives. And it will destroy the local congregation if we allow ourselves to become a part of it. There are several different terms that we find throughout the New Testament that are within the realm of gossip. The slanderer. That's exactly what a gossip is. He takes information and he uses it against his opponents. And he twists it in whatever way to where it becomes really an untruth. He slanders. The talebearer. The one who is going about just constantly telling tales. He or she is the one that just always has something to say about someone. The whisperer. You see this in almost every gathering. Almost every gathering that you come across, there's two or three individuals in the back of the room or off to the side. Did you hear about this? You're not going to believe. Honestly, I'm of the opinion that whispering is one of the most rude things there is in the world. And now texting is the new whispering. Because you can sit there in a room across from one another and you can carry on. Did you see what she has on? I can't believe she wore this. And you can sit there and it's the same thing. You see them turn like this. They're whispering or they got their phone in the hand and you see somebody else across the room. Da-dink. Oh, I've got a text message. And they're just going back and forth. It's whispering. It's tale-bearing. And oftentimes, it's gossip. Backbiting. Choosing a target. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia that he said, be careful that you're not consumed with your constant backbiting of one another. And I've never come across a congregation where there wasn't at least a little bit of a problem of this. Just little snide remarks about this or that. I mean, even now, how many of us maybe have been guilty of a few snide remarks about the change-up that's been going on? Just tearing, nipping at one another. Like dogs that are just not playing, but trying to find dominance amongst one another. Busybodies is another term that we find in the New Testament. Just always going about from house to house, telling tales one to after another. The Apostle Paul, as he instructed the young preacher Timothy, he also instructed him to encourage the older women, the widows, if they were not widows indeed, actually the younger women, if they were widows, to remarry so that they won't become busybodies. So that they won't find themselves under the care of the congregation. He says if they're younger than 60, the church doesn't have a responsibility to them. They should go and marry and have children and guide the house. Or they're going to become lazy and become busybodies. If the church is paid for everything and they have no family responsibilities, it's very easy for them to get caught up in just sitting around talking about everything. A troublesome meddler is another term that is used. And each one of these conveys a negative connotation. There's a poem that I came across years ago called My Name is Gossip. And I think it really sets the tone of how we should look at gossip ourselves. It says, my name is gossip, I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing, I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip, party gossip, telephone gossip, and don't forget church gossip. I make headlines and headaches. Think about that. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary for me to repeat this information? And if you answer no to any of those, shut up. Keep it to yourself. Perhaps even do your best to forget that you have that information. Perhaps it wasn't yours to come across in the first place. But let's close out our lesson this morning by looking at some passages of Scripture and see what it says about gossip. And we can go back to the old law there in Leviticus chapter 19. And we can see God's way of dealing with mankind and the expectations that He had towards them. And He hasn't really changed His expectations about us as well. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, He says, "You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you're not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." We need to look at one another, especially within the local church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as our neighbors. And if God was very specific during the old law to say, don't go around like a slanderer, do you really think God has changed His opinion on this now? That He didn't want slanders amongst the people during the old law, but under the new law, well, it's not that big of a deal. Go ahead, slander one another. Gossip about, talk about one another. When you look over in the Psalms, look with me if you would, in the 15th Psalm. There in Psalm 15, beginning in verse 1. Look at what the psalmist has to say about those who will live in the presence of God. He says, "O Lord, who may abide in Your tent? Who may dwell on Your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend." If God wanted to, He could speak evil of all of us, couldn't He? He knows the deepest and darkest moments of our life. He knows the things that we've done that no one else knows anything about, doesn't He? He is privy to all of our secrets. And what does He do? He keeps them to Himself. And when we ask for forgiveness, He wipes them away. He removes them. And as we've studied so many times, we are to love one another as the Lord loves us. We are to love one another as Christ has loved the church. And the psalmist is here saying, we need to be careful. We don't need to be going about. God is wanting these types of individuals to be around Him. Those who walk with integrity, those who work righteousness, and those who speak truth in their heart. Well, some will go, well, it ain't gossip if it's true. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. You ever heard the phrase, truth hurts? And it may be that what you have to say about that individual is true. Perhaps, and we'll talk about this later in the lesson. But just let's get this out of here. Perhaps you know something of someone, a sin that they're committing. And you go and you tell someone else, you know it's true. It's not hearsay. You know it's true. What are you guilty of? You're guilty of gossip. The Lord has given us a responsibility. When we know that a brother or sister in Christ is in sin, we are to go to that brother and no one else. Even if you know it to be true, it's still gossip, you're still guilty, and you're facing the eternal fires of hell. If you go to anyone before going to that brother or sister in Christ. That's the charge that has been given to us, and that's the charge that we need to take very seriously. In Psalm 101, there in verse 5, the psalmist writes, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure." When you look over at the wisdom of Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 10, there in verse 18, throughout the wisdom of Solomon, oftentimes he'll have the wise versus the fool. And too many times when we look at ourselves honestly, we find ourselves on the foolish side rather than the side of wisdom. But in Proverbs 10 and verse 18, it says, "He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool." In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, we see that one who betrays a secret or confidence is one who cannot be trusted. In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, "He who goes about as a tale bearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." Perhaps someone has come to you with a sensitive piece of information about their life and they want someone they can talk to about it. As brothers and sisters in Christ, when someone comes and talks to us about these things, even if they don't use the words, please don't tell anyone, we should not tell anyone. Period. The things that are told to us shouldn't have to come with a disclaimer. Hey, look, I'm trusting you with this information. Please don't go and tell anyone. When someone reveals information to us, it should be kept private. It's not for us to go off and to spread to everyone else. I have come across in my years of preaching, discovered a very horrible, horrible thing about preachers. Not all of them. In fact, the majority of preachers, I've never heard of this. But it was brought to my attention again just here recently of a preacher who kept a logbook of the sins of the congregation. That was my expression when I heard that. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Of preachers who would go around and would climb up fences to look into the backyards of members of the church houses to see how they're living and what they're doing and if they have a pool, who all swimming in the pool. And well, that preacher's nothing more than a big fat gossip. If he's going to use that against someone, he is condemned time and time and time again in the Scriptures. But you know what? It's not just preachers that do that, is it? Oh, we have logbooks in our head, don't we? We remember the rights and the wrongs that have ever been done to us. More wrongs than rights, don't we? We keep a long litany of things that, of those that have wronged us or secrets that have been given to us. And guess what I just heard? You're not going to believe what so-and-so told me. And she told me not to tell anybody, so don't tell anyone. You know what you just told that person? I don't care what this person over here said, and so therefore take my word with a grain of salt and go tell whoever you want. The wise man says a slanderer is one who separates intimate friends. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he says again, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. The one who listens to gossip finds it hard to resist because gossip is tasty. In Proverbs 18 and verse 8, as we read before, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down to the innermost parts of the body. The wise man wrote in Proverbs 20 and verse 19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. But we like to associate with gossips, right? Because they have the best information. They tell the best stories about everyone else. Something to think about is that if they're telling stories about someone else to you, imagine what they're saying to someone else about you. And the more we're surrounded by individuals that are caught up in gossip, the more we find ourselves being prone to gossip. It's all about sharing information, right? I tell you a secret, you tell me a secret. We want to hear more secrets from them, so we have to reveal a little bit of what we know. So they'll reveal a little bit more, and we find ourselves getting caught up in the most vicious of gossip cycles. Let's look further, if you would, in the book of Romans. As we look at the teachings of the New Testament. Note that in Romans chapter 1, as we've been studying the book of Romans, we noted that the latter half of the first chapter is dealing with the Gentiles and how they turned away from their knowledge of God, even though they had ample evidence given to them, and they turned aside to these things, and we focus on some of them and go, yeah, that's evil Gentiles. We don't give so much attention to the latter part of the list that is just as evil, just as far away from God. We don't pay as much attention to that because we find ourselves being guilty at times. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind, to do things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things, what things? Gossip and slander. Those who practice such things they not only do the same, but they also practice those things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The Apostle Paul very clearly says that gossip is worthy of death. He doesn't say bad gossip. He doesn't say destroying gossip. He says gossip. Period. Slander and gossip are worthy of death. Now, what death is Paul talking about here? Eternal. Eternal damnation. That when we find ourselves guilty of gossip and slander, when we find ourselves committing this sin, and we need to view it as it is a sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a sin. We're guilty. And we will face death. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 11, as he wrote his concern for the members of the church in Thessalonica, he said, "We hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." You find them in the church. Oftentimes they wear the badge of preacher, going about from house to house, finding out whatever. Like I said, you got those preachers that keep that. I don't get it. It's wrong. They should be removed from the church. They should be withdrawn from, rebuked, whatever. Why churches would allow things like that to continue from the one who's standing before them preaching the gospel, allow them to continue to be a gossip, a slanderer, a talebearer. There's no such thing as a spying Christian. And that's oftentimes what gossips are. They're just untrained spies. They're always listening for tidbits of information, trying to find the tastiest morsel and then spreading it with as much fervor as they can. Paul told the church in Thessalonica, he says, I'm hearing some things about you that need to be corrected. You're sitting around, you're doing nothing more than just running around learning about everyone and spreading what you learn to others. As Paul was writing to Timothy, as I referred to it earlier there in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, "But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan." Men, as I've said in other passages where a particular thought has been directed at women, we oftentimes talk about the modesty of women and look at the Scriptures and how it speaks of the modesty of women. These same principles apply to us as well. In the world that we live in today, there are more and more stay-at-home dads where the wife is going out and working and the dad is staying home and taking care of the family. And of course, we live in the day of public school systems, so from 8 to, well, oftentimes from 7 or 6 till 5 in the evening, our kids are gone. And we find ourselves, what am I going to do? The Apostle Paul instructs Timothy to instruct the younger women to be serious about their responsibility as mothers. And the same thing would apply to fathers. To take that responsibility seriously and to not allow ourselves to slip into the gossip, the slanderer, the busybody. We need to be very careful with the tongue. As we noted in James 3, it is like a wild animal. In fact, James says, all animals of this world have been tamed. What's the magic duo that had the lion? I've been using this lion for years, and then one got mauled by that lion that they had grown to trust because they had forgotten it's a wild animal. And we do the same thing with our tongues. We get at ease and we forget our tongue is prone to failure. The more we speak, the more error we are prone to make. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, "Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler." Do you see where he puts the gossip? Right up there with a murderer. Because as we noted in the beginning of the lesson, it is easier to assassinate someone's character and therefore destroy them through our words than it is to actually get a gun and shoot them or use a dagger. It's easier. We can do it from afar. It's better than being a sniper. No one can even know where it came from. Especially in the world that we live in today, you can get something started on the internet and there'd be practically no way, unless you're a computer genius, for someone to find out the origin of that statement. But it can spread like wildfire. And Christians spread gossip through emails. How many times have you received an email about someone or about something, some legend, and never taken the time to sit down and go, is this true? You just hit reply, forward, whatever. There have been numerous times where my brothers and I have had to email my mom or other individuals and go, look, visit Snopes.com before you forward anything. It'll let you know if this is an urban legend or not. And if we're spreading things that are false, even through email, and we're just forwarding, what are we doing? We're gossiping. We're guilty of gossip. And so with it being even easier to do, we must guard ourselves all the more. As John was writing a rebuke against Diotrephes, who refused the letters that he had sent and desired the preeminence of the church, it says there in 3 John, there in verse 10, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes was not only guilty of rejecting an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he was spreading lies and rumors about him. Just like was happening with the Apostle Paul, there in the church in Corinth and in other places, lies and rumors were being spread. And the same thing can happen to us today. You know, I appreciate Brother Nathan and the song choice that he made right before the lesson. You know, when we think about gossip, it's so easy to get caught up in gossip and to talk about others because it's juicy, right? It's easy to get caught up in gossip because it's intriguing to others. But you know, we have the most intriguing piece of information readily available to us, and Jesus told us, go and tell everyone. Talk about this all you want. Spread every little part of the things that have been revealed. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus, the great physician. Let's talk about Him. When you're sitting around bored and you can't find anything else to talk about, and you're tempted to gossip, to give out a little, just talk about Jesus. Let the gossip go by the wayside. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you what He's done and what He expects of me and how I became a child of His and how you can become a child of His. When you find yourself tempted to follow through with the sin of gossip, tale-bearing, slandering, shut up. Just quit talking. When you're surrounded by individuals who are caught up in the sin of gossip, walk away. Don't sit there and listen to the things that they have to say and go, well, I'm going to listen, but I'm not going to spread it. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're aiding them in the spread of gossip. You're telling them it's okay for you to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it myself, but it's okay for you. And I'll listen to you and I'll bid you Godspeed in what you're doing. That's what you're doing. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And it's dangerous because our soul is at stake. Again, read James chapter 3, there, the first 15 verses, and look at how James describes the tongue. It's like the rudder of a ship. Tiny little thing that guides a giant boat wherever the pilot wants to go. It's like bits in a horse's mouth that can take this ornery beast and send it whichever direction the rider wants to go. It's like a spark that destroys millions of acres through a wildfire. That's the tongue. That's the power of the tongue. And we can harness that power for good, or we can let it not only destroy others, but destroy our own soul. Perhaps you're here, and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps in listening to this lesson, you realize, well, I'm guilty of gossip. This is something I've done. I've spread gossip. I've listened to gossip. I've encouraged gossip. What do I need to do? Well, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be buried in the watery grave of baptism. And the blood of Jesus Christ is there to cleanse you of all of your sins. There will be nothing left behind of the sinful life that you lived before. Even the most horrible sins, as we view them, you'll be washed as white as snow by the blood of Christ. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. At some point in time you said, I want to be a child of God. I want to walk in the path of righteousness. I want to live a life like Christ. Live a life as His disciple. And like every Christian who's ever walked before you, you failed. You stumbled. Perhaps you've stumbled in listening to gossip, spreading gossip. Men, don't be looking to your wives. Look to your own life. Don't be thinking about sister so-and-so and how big of a gossip she is, or brother so-and-so. Think of your own life and the way that you live and the things that you say and the way that you spread things. Examine yourself. And if you're guilty of the sin of gossip, repent. Gossip is not exactly a private thing, is it? Once gossip is spread, it becomes very public in nature. And if you are known as one who is a spreader of gossip, then you need to let it be known to the congregation that you're not going to be that individual anymore, that you repent of your sin and you strive to be right in the sight of God. Whatever your situation might be, if you would, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.